turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. Two Sunday nights ago, I preached in Joshua chapter number 6. And so we're going to back up. That's sort of doing things backwards. But I got to look in, and you know, in the Bible, one thing leads to another, and one section of Scripture and dependent upon the other. And so I know this is backwards, but I feel like this is where the Lord would have us to go anyway. You know, I preached on Jericho, and really is after Brother Kyle had been, and we was talking about the prospect of the college and how that's a mission field in our backyard, but how huge of a shut up city is that, and a lot of things, our elementary schools, and just seems like we have no, it's shut up, you know, we can't get in, they can't get, and so the walls of Jericho were brought down by faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11, but before they got over and had a victory at Jericho, they had to get into they had to get across the Jordan River, and that's what we're going to read about tonight, where they crossed over. Joshua chapter 4, let's just read the verses tonight, and then I'll get right into the message, but you pray that God would speak to our heart and help us. Joshua chapter number 4, let's begin reading at verse number 1, and pay attention what happens here, and that'll help our understanding of the message. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now, look over at verse number 20. The Bible said, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. And we'll stop right there, and that's enough to get into the message tonight, but that's what I want to try to preach on this evening, is right there in verse number 21, the last four words in that verse. The Bible says, what mean these stones? And so we see the children of Israel, they came through the Jordan. As they came through the Jordan, Joshua had taken 12 men, and he chose them out, and he prepared them, the Bible says, and he instructed 12 men from each of the 12 tribes to get a stone upon their shoulder to carry them over unto the other side. And so this is a great day in the history of the children of Israel. And so they've crossed over the Jordan now, and they're going to build a memorial on the other side. And this is some 40 years in the making that they would cross over into the land of Jordan. Now, as I begin to study about this and seen some things I didn't study when I was studying about Jericho, you know, when they left Egypt, they crossed over the Red Sea. In fact, it talks about that in verse number 23. It said in the last part, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. But if you'll remember, when they crossed over the Red Sea, the enemy was in hot pursuit behind them. Pharaoh had gotten his army together. They're going to go out. They're going to catch them. They're going to destroy them. And so they had no time to stop and build no memorial when they crossed over the Red Sea. They were in hot pursuit by the enemy. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Most of you realize that tonight. So when they left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, the enemy was behind them. Then they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And you know, the greatest enemy they had while they were in the wilderness was their own selves. You know, a lot of times, well, the devil made me do it. Don't blame everything on the devil. He's not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. He's probably not very concerned about me and you. And really, when we say, the devil made me do it, we ought to just go ahead and say, you know, I just give in to old self. And I just let old flesh get the victory. And the man in the mirror got the victory today. And that's how they were in the wilderness. They were fighting amongst themselves. And it was a battle with flesh. And it was a battle with strife. And it was a battle with who's going to be the head. And they had a lot of problems. And that's what wandering in the wilderness is a type of. That's the carnal man. And the land of Canaan is a type of the spirit-filled life. And so they battled with themselves in the wilderness. But here they are going to cross over Jordan, and the enemy is before them. All that land is full of the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and all the different ites over there. And so the enemy is before them, and they're going to come over right up against Jericho. God put them out on the other side of Jericho or on the other side of Jordan in the shadow of Jericho. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And so all these things, you know, that reminds me of our Christian life, our Christian walk. There are battles past, present, and future. And that's the way it is. And that's the way it's always going to be. We are never going to get in this life away from battles. We're either battling with the devil chasing us. We're battling with ourselves. We're battling with something that's out here in the future that we have to have faith and courage to overcome by the grace of God. But I'll tell you, as long as we're in this life, we're going to have battles that we're going to have to go through and contend with. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, it would help us in the battles of our lives if we would build some memorials or recognize some memorials in our lives. Now, that's what God told them that this was going to be, was a memorial. Verse number 7, the last part of the verse, it said, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Jericho wouldn't look near as unconquerable as they were marching around. You know, at least one time when they marched around, I believe they could look over there on the shore and have a physical reminder that it was God that dried up the River Jordan, and they walked over on dry land. And so as they're walking around Jericho, which looks impossible to defeat, every time they come around, they'd say, but God parted Jordan. This might look impossible, but God done that, so I think God can do that. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That was a memorial to them forever, but wouldn't that be a blessed reminder as you park there between no retreat and the enemy is right there on the other side, but God dried up the Jordan. And that pile of rocks right over there, that pile of stones, that's a reminder, a physical reminder of what the Lord has done. Now, a memorial is that which preserves the memory of something. That's what a memorial is. Look it up in the dictionary. That which preserves the memory of something. Now, Monday of this week, I got to go. Brother Mark and Sister Robin took me up to Oklahoma City, and I got to go and visit the Oklahoma City National Memorial, where the federal building was blown up in 1995, and they have a real nice memorial over there. There's 168 people died during that explosion. I've got pictures. I might even bring them to church and show you, but he wanted to take me to the Cowboy Museum, but I said, I lived in Idaho. I know a little bit about cowboys. I'd really like to go see that memorial, and he took me over there. And so I got to spend the afternoon and look around, and I got a lot out of it. But I told Brother Mark while we were there, I said, we build memorials to mark our tragedies. The children of Israel built a memorial to mark their triumph. They had a victory. When they had that victory, they set up that memorial. Hey, look what God has done for us. And so we see that great memorial was set up. And that helped us in our battles if we had some memorials in our lives. And God knows how forgetful we are. So he instructed Joshua to set up these stones for a memorial. Now, it said in verse number 21, here's why God wanted them to do that. It said, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? When your children shall ask in time to come, Daddy, what are these stones out here for? Then, God said in verse number 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Isn't that good? We need to have some memorials in our lives. So when our children ask us, what's this all about? We'll say, because what God has done in the past. And so that's why the Lord instructed them to do that. Now, let's notice, I've just got about three things about these stones. Number one, there is the shouldering of the stone. Look in verse number 5. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, these stones on the riverbank of Jordan, they didn't just magically appear there. It wasn't some freak of nature that had happened in the past. It wasn't some flood that had come down the Jordan River and pushed these rocks over in a pile over there that just looked odd and out of place. These stones were shouldered there by men who undertook the work. There's a lot of meaning in that. There were some men that bear the load to put the shoulders, to put the memorial there. There was some sweat equity that was put into this memorial that was made. Some of the things about these men that I noticed are starting in verse number 2 down through verses number 2 through 4. These were taken men. Verse number 2, take you 12 men. Verse number 3, these were commanded men. He said, and command ye them. Verse number 4, these were called men. Then Joshua called the 12 men. These were prepared men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel. And so here we see that these men were special men. These men were of a special caliber, that the Lord took them and commanded them and called them and prepared them. Now, if he's going to pick out somebody to build a memorial, you wouldn't pick out a child, would you? You wouldn't pick out the scrawniest, the smallest. If that was me, I'd go through and I'd pick out me somebody that I thought could pick up the biggest rock in the Jordan River. And so these men were special men. Do you know all the men that God takes and calls and prepares and commands? God sees something in those men and those women that maybe other people don't see. There's a strength. There is a there's a desire. There's something that God puts there, that and He equips them for that work. They were prepared men. But let me say tonight, if this church sees another generation who will come along and ask, "What mean these stones?" then it will be because this generation shoulders the stone, shoulders the work, carries on the work of God. And as we look around us tonight, I'm talking about those that are right here in our midst tonight. There's a work for us to do. There's a responsibility for us to shoulder. There's a stand for us to make. You see what I'm... We've got something to do. And the only reason we're here tonight is because somebody else done that for us. Somebody else shouldered the work so that we could be here and enjoy the blessings of God tonight. But I'll tell you, we're living in a day and a time where there's not a lot of memorials, not as many as there used to be, because there's been a generation that has let down on the job, not done what they are supposed to do. We live in a day and a time where it'd be fine and dandy with a whole lot of people just to let Joshua carry all them stones out of Jordan. But as I had studied here and I noticed, and you can read it when you get home, that's not what God told them to do. And there's a lesson in there for us. It takes everybody doing something to do what really needs to be done. Joshua did set up a memorial. If you read this, in fact, if you've got a Scofield Bible, it says chapter 4, the two memorials. And I got to reading and studying over that, and I was like, where's that other memorial at? There's a secret memorial that Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the river. Nobody's ever going to see that. Let me tell you something. You'd better have some places in your life where you set up a memorial as to what God's done for you that nobody else sees, but hey, you can go back to it and say, boy, I'll tell you what God done for me once upon a time. You don't see it, but I'm telling you, it's real. It's there. It might be underwater. It might be in the past, but I'm telling you, God done something great for me. Joshua set up some secret stones. But he chose out 12 men, and they shouldered the load, and they carried the load, and they set it up there on the stone. And I'm telling you, we live in a day where some people satisfied just to put some rocks in their pocket. You know, that'd be good enough for God, wouldn't it? Just come to church and act like Hollywood and get along with the world and doesn't really mean to you, and the first good rain come along, wash it down the road. But I'm telling you, that's not what God said to do. God said to get some stones that wouldn't be washed away and carry the load out of that river. And set them up on the bank for a memorial. The Bible said there in verse number 7 that the children of Israel might know forever what God had done. Isn't that good? God's got to work for us to do, and we must all do our part in the work. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've got a work to do. I was saying about this, I've pastored 3 churches now. I hope that the Lord will leave me here until the trump of God sounds. But I've been privileged, I'm thankful that I've had that opportunity. That's helped me. Pastor 3 churches. Now, 2 of these churches is over 100 years old. Mount Lebanon's over 100 years old. And I think, if I remember right, I think Forest Grove's older than Mount Lebanon is. Both churches are over 100 years old. And here's what I've noticed. As I've pastored in these 2, what a lot of people would consider old churches. That's a long time. You know what I've heard people talk about down through the years? It's not always they're talking about what the pastor's done. People talk about what I remember over at Forest Grove. Some of them deacons standing up when I was just a young preacher and just starting out. And I remember Brother Mike Warren standing up. He was a young deacon at the time. And I remember him standing up and talking about Brother Grover. And I remember him talking about Paul Warren.
And these old men of God, and they admired them, and although they had been dead longer than I've been alive, they talked about them old men of God and how they stood for what was right. How that they didn't compromise on things. And you know what they were talking about? How they had shouldered the load down through the years. And that, and you can do the same thing right here at Mount Lebanon. And I've heard it, and I can tell you names tonight, but I'm not going to because I might leave somebody out. They some old saints of God that shouldered the load down through the years, and that's why we're here tonight and got what we've got. Preached last week down at Willow Valley. Brother Harold Danner was down there, and you know his mother. And he grew up here, but we all remember. But anyway, Brother Harold was telling me. He said, I remember being in the old church at Mount Lebanon when I was a little boy. And he said, I can remember. He said, I'll bet you there's 40 people shouting at the same time. I said, where'd you say you was talking about? What happened to that? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? See, that's the ones that shouldered the load. That's the ones that carried and done their part so you and I could have what we have tonight. So thank God for, we need some that'll just shoulder the load and carry on in the work of God. This is the most important thing going on in the world. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of God. And so there's the shouldering of the stones. But second of all tonight, moving on, there's the sign of these stones. He said in verse number 5, last part of the verse, he said, every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So 12 stones, one man from each tribe. That this may be a sign among you. There's a sign. That when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? There's the sign of the stones. There was a stone for each family. Everyone had a part in this memorial. Nobody could come along and say, well, the Danaites, we done all the work. No. God, wasn't that wise? Got one man out of each tribe to represent that tribe. Now, isn't that good? Never do you find where just one family does everything. You need everybody. Everybody contributes for their tribe. Everybody has a memorial for their part in the whole story. And so that's what we find here is the sign. Now you say tonight, well, that's good for them. But what's that got to do with us? Well, I'll tell you tonight, God has given us some stones. He's given us some stones. We don't have a pile of rocks. I realize that. But I'll tell you, we do have some stones. We have some memorials in our day and time. Now, I'm not going to preach 12 of them, but I could. Do you know, you just think about it tonight. There's the church. What's this church business mean? Why is there a church beside the road? Why are there all these churches beside the road in all these counties in North Carolina? These churches are just representatives of a called out assembly. Saved believers covenanted together to carry on the work of God. That's what the church is. Who is the church? Where is the church? What is the church? It's not a building. It is a undefeatable, a living organism. The head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's the church. All these thousands of years later, there's still a church, and there'll always be a church. That's a stone that God has given unto us. What about every church says services Sunday? That's a stone. The fact that we even meet on Sunday, we don't meet on Tuesday, we don't meet on Thursday, we don't meet on Friday, we meet on Sunday, that is the first day of the week, that is, we are preaching to the world that our Savior got up out of the grave on Sunday, on the first day of the week, and we come together to honor and worship Him. That is a stone that God has given us. It's a stone. You've got a church, you've got a Sunday service that we come together. We've got right here a stone. Every church I preach in, just about. This do in remembrance of me. We have the stone of the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me is right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. We remember the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. We remember the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He shed upon Calvary for you and I so we could be saved. And we do that in remembrance of Him. That's not something we just come up with and said, I think that'd be a nice thing for us to do at church. That'd be a good symbolic gesture for what. That's right out of the Word of God. That is a stone that the Lord has given unto us. And right back here we have a baptistry that we, that's a stone. That's telling the world when somebody gets saved that they've followed the Lord, that they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and showing the whole world the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's preaching the gospel to a lost world that He saves sinners, that He gives newness of life, and on we could go tonight. There's the preaching of the Word of God. That's a stone that you find in every generation of Christians. You're going to find those that preach the gospel with the Spirit of God sent down from heaven. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Old John Bunyan, they put him in prison. And I believe he spent about 6 months down there. And he had a family at home and a little blind girl. And they went to him and they said, now, Mr. Bunyan, if you won't preach anymore, we'll let you go. You know what he said? Can't promise you that. Can't promise you that. So they just stuck him back in there. Every once in a while they'd let him go visit at a certain time. And so I'll tell you, buddy, they must have been dedicated. Must have meant something to him. Must have been an inspiration from another world that inspired their message to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's preaching. There's praying. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. We pray. Christian people pray. They're singing Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, singing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Saved people, Christian people, God's people, they're singing people. We got something to sing about. God's give us some stones. Why are they there anyway? Why? You know, why don't we get some new songs? Some of these songs is 300 or almost 400 years old. Some of them older than that. Those songs in that book, a lot of them came out of the Great Revival in the 1700s. The songs in that book came out of they were birthed in revival fires out of the 1800s. And buddy, I'm telling you, there's some meat. There's some meaning in those songs. Down at Willow Valley, they sang out of that Broadman hymnal one morning, and they sang, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." And God was there, and they were shouting and praising the Lord. And one of the men talked about one of the sisters in the church that had done already went on to be with the Lord, and he said that was her favorite hymn. When they'd sing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," she'd always stand up and say, "That's my favorite hymn. That's the one I got in on." Amen. God's given us some stones to remember what this is all about in our lives. And so there, do you know why? Do you know why? We had an Oklahoma. He had a family come take care of the music last week, the Patrick family, and they sang and played. Brother Mark doesn't have a piano player in their church, and so that was a blessing. And their son, 18-year-old son, he sat over there and played the piano right along. I mean, they'd just pick a song out of the book, and he'd go to playing it. So you have a man from Ohio that lives in Washington that came to Oklahoma where there was Indians and white people gathered together, some from Oklahoma and some from, and then a preacher from North Carolina. Do you know why we could all stand up and sing together in, I won't say perfect harmony, but pretty good harmony? It's about perfect when the Spirit of God comes, but I'm telling you, do you know why we can do that? Because God's given us some stones. Got something to sing about. They singing and preaching and praying and, what's all this about? Maybe young people look around. Why the church? What's important about it? What about revival? God's given us the stone of revival. What about the Bible? First song the Patrick family sang during revival. They stood up Thursday night. And young man, 15 years old, he got up there with his Bible and he sung this song. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, held it up like that. Boy, you talk about Holy Ghost goosebumps coming up. They got up there and sang about this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The words of the Lord are perfect. We're saved by the Word of God. We're kept by the Word. I mean, people have died for that book. You know, they'd take Christians out. And they would cover them in pitch coats and shirts and bind them up and set them on a pole and set them on fire to light the city at night just because they believed more in that blessed old book than they'd bound down to the king. They'd put coats of animal skins on them and turn them out to the lions, burn them at the stake. Preachers have sat in prison right up here in the state of Virginia. And the congregations, the Baptist congregations would come. And the preachers would preach out of the window to their people from that book right there. That book. That King James Bible. They hated that so much they built a wall and put glass on top of it try to keep the people from coming. And so what they would do then, when the congregation got outside, they'd run up a certain flag and the preacher would know that's his people and he'd preach out of the window from that book. God's given us some stones. That's our heritage. That's why that's important. Somebody's got to shoulder the load. Somebody's got to carry on. What about a Christian family? Do you know that is a stone right out of the Word of God, a mama and a daddy and children? And that's why this marriage amendment thing is so important. Somebody's got to keep that going on. So God's given us some stones carried out on the shoulders of others. And so it means something tonight. We're not here by accident. We're here on purpose. God's purpose. There's the sign of the stones. And then last of all tonight, and I'll move right along quickly. Last of all, there's the story of the stones. It said in verse 22 and 23. Verse 21, they said, "What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." And so there's the story of the stones. What that would result in would be a history lesson. I like history because history is really His story. It's His story. And so when the children came along and said, "What mean these stones?" If we could just imagine in our minds and fast forward from Joshua chapter number 4 till the end of the chapter. And Canaan land has been conquered. And Joshua is ready to die. But I imagine in my mind that maybe Joshua would take some kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and show them over what God has done for him in all these years that he's been with the children of Israel. And they get down there by the River Jordan and they're playing around, and some children. Grandpa, come over here. Look what we found. What is this? What's these stones mean? And old Joshua or some other grandpa or somebody else had come along, and it was an object lesson. It was a history lesson. And you imagine now, there's Canaan land's conquered. Jericho is in ruins. Nobody lives there no more. This is ancient history as far as the children are concerned. And they look out over the Jordan River flowing down there. And Grandpa would say, "Now children, it might be hard for you to believe this now. You look across the Jordan River. It's wide, it's long, it's deep. But you know what happened one day? We used to live on the other side. God told us to come over to this side." And he'd tell them how they took the ark down and they put their feet in the water and God parted and the water heaped up above. And he'd tell them how they went over on dry land and all of those things. And he'd tell them that was an opportunity for him to tell his children just how big God is. Just how big God is. That's what those stones, that's what all this ought to remind us of, that we have a Bible, that we have a church, that we have ordinances, that we have all these songs and this history. It ought to just remind us just how big God is in our lives and cause us to have a greater faith, because we're not going to do nothing without faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We serve a big and mighty God, and those stones are for us too. Look at verse 24. That all the people of the earth, that's you and I, isn't it? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. His hand is mighty. I mean, boy, we serve a big God tonight. I believe everybody in here tonight would say, "Preach, do you believe all that?" "Yes, sir, preacher, I believe all that. I believe God parted that Jordan River. I believe God let the walls of Jericho fall flat. And yes, sir, we believe all those things. Yet, look where we're at. We go on in our Christian lives. We have all of that and more. We've got all of that and more. Yet we go on in our Christian lives victoryless many times. We go on in our Christian lives doubting so many times. We go on in our Christian lives and our churches having very little impact, very little influence on the world around us without revival. I mean, when we have people saved, if they come back on Wednesday night, we just think that's the greatest thing in all the world. We can't even get people saved that'll come back on a Wednesday night. I told one of my preacher friends a while back, I said, maybe we ought to start praying that God would save people. I mean, he had saved them so mightily that he had saved them unto Wednesday night. And Sunday night, man, somebody comes, well, I hope they got it. See, we're more than a long ways in time from where they were. And I believe here's all the difference in the world. We can look back. And it's easy for us to say, I believe God done that. I believe God dried up the Jordan River. Yes, sir. I believe God flattened those walls. But in our lives, we don't apply it like that. In our lives, all we see is, boy, there's a stormy Jordan. There's a lot of trouble. There's all these problems. There's all these things we can't get over. There's all these giant enemies before us. We can't do anything. We're just going to peacefully coexist until the Lord comes, and we don't apply what we have faith in the past for to have faith in the future for. And that's why we don't have victory like they had. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Well, we serve a big God. That's the point of that whole message. We serve a big God. He can do anything He wants to. He can save. He can open doors. I'll tell you this. I'm about done. I went Thursday night. I preached. We had a great service. God was there. I come back Friday night. We're looking forward to it. It's a totally different. It was hard to preach. Everybody was sleepy. I told them the fault was they was having food after church. I tell you, if you want to kill a service, have food after church. Well, it was hard preaching Friday night. And me and Brother Mark, we was concerned that night and the next day. And we come back on Saturday night, and God met with us. And I promise you, that's one of the best services I've ever been in my life. God came there and manifested himself. It wasn't anything that I'd done. I mean, the Lord came. Do you believe God can come where there's just about 20 or 25 people? Sure he can. Boy, the Lord was there, and we was rejoicing. We went home rejoicing over. I mean, it's just like when you're pushing against the wall, and all of a sudden somebody moves, and boy, God come through in a mighty way. And I told Brother Mark, I said, God lets us have them Friday nights, so when we come back the next night and God shows up, that we will know that it wasn't none of us, it wasn't nothing we done, it's just the difference of God manifesting himself among his people. So he'll let us flounder sometimes and think we're going to die. And then he'll come along, just open the door. Just make the way. Just show up. Make all the difference. And so this message ought to, if it don't do anything else, it ought to increase our faith. God dried up that river. He didn't just do it once. He did it twice. He did it at the Red Sea and he did it at the Jordan. He did it when Elijah and Elisha crossed back and forth. And so there's a lot of things here. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If the Lord would increase our faith in these last days, no telling what we could do, because he's not constrained what we could do through him. So that's the message the Lord laid on my heart tonight. And why don't we just close like this? Let's have